This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast.
We're two sisters on a mission to entertain
and educate by learning from women who live a purpose-driven life.
Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast. Today, we have Rachel Clark with us. She is on Full Bloom on HBO Max and Winter House on Bravo. But the most inspiring thing that she does is she has a floral design company called Dearest Rachel, where her flower installations have been at events for Nike, Chanel, Bravo, Amazon, Variety Magazine, 818 Tequila. The list really goes on. Rachel, how are you?
Hi, it's always so crazy to like hear back, like when people talk about my clients, I'm like, oh my God, those are mine.
Yeah, really, really big, important people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that made me excited hearing that. I was like, go Rachel.
It's like pinch me moments. It's like very, it's like good to remind yourself too. Cause sometimes it's just like I get so wrapped up in it. And I'm like, oh my God, wait, I'm living a dream.
What does it look like for you? Because it's like wedding season and then you have events and installations and parties year round. How do you like save time for yourself too?
It's so hard to do that. I think the biggest goal for me personally and professionally is just to like have both my lives like seamlessly collide in the way that neither one gets neglected. In the past, 1000%, my personal life has definitely fallen second. But it's all about balance and like moving forward, it's just trying to find the right balance and also like saying no to things, especially to like protect my mental health and like, you know, just to like live my life as well. So it's always a struggle, I'll say.
Wait, what's one thing that you kind of have a really strong boundary with at this point that you're like, you know, I'm going to pass? Like, is it unpaid work? Like, what's something that you've realized is like, I can't do that anymore?
It's definitely like the multiple events in one day. Like I totally love to work with clients and, you know, with budgets, you know, weddings, events, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as like, I like you, I like your mission, I love the inspiration. Like I'll work with you on tight budgets and, you know, like not to say I won't necessarily do things for free, but if I enjoy it and I love it and it serves a better purpose, like 1000%, like I will work with you on it. But I will say no if you're mean. If you're like, you know, I mean, like if you're taking advantage of me or you're not flexible, because I'm willing to be flexible and work with you. Mm-hmm. And it's my clients, I kind of treat it as, you know, it's a transaction. But also like not only do I have to be a good fit for you and your aesthetic and the job, but also like I want to make sure that I like you're good for me as well, for my client and my work. I want to be proud of everything that I do. And sometimes, you know, like people are rude, they're mean, and they don't appreciate your time, especially. And I personally don't have time for that anymore.
Well, you're an artist too. It's not just a bouquet of flowers or a flower wall. Like your pieces are absolutely stunning. So everyone needs to go to your Instagram and look at them. But yeah, I agree. It's like, yeah, at work when I have like mean people or like at Girl Powerful, when we have like mean like directors or something, I'm like, no, thanks.
Not worth it. Well, that's like, Candace Cameron, this PR agent, was on here last week, and she said she only onboards people. They have a no a-hole policy at their PR firm, because it's like, not everyone's like so working on themselves. So you don't need other people's garbage like sticking to you. And like you said, it's energy in an exchange. Like, no thanks. Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, I am totally, like, I wear a million hats. Like, I manage a million people. Like, I get it. And things go wrong. And, like, you know, you get, like, frustrated and stuff. And, like, just keep it real. And just, you know, at the end of the day, if, like, you pop off, just be like, listen, I'm sorry. Like, I was under a lot of stress. And normally I'm like, say less. Don't worry about it. I got it. Like, we all have those moments. But in the moment, sometimes when people are, like, taking out their frustrations on you, I'm like, it's not my problem, you know, like.
But yeah, anyway. I like that, though, like, acknowledging that some people are just, we're all just people, and things do get stressful, and if someone does have the guts to apologize, take it and move on, right?
Yeah, like,
especially business.
Yeah, I'm already over it, and I get it. So, and I've definitely, like, lost my temper back in the day, and it's a learning experience. Like, you can't treat people badly, you know, or take your frustrations out. It's a relationship, you know?
Yeah. How did you get into floral design? Like, what draws you to flowers?
Everything. But I always say flowers found me in a time that I needed it the most. It was such a serendipitous experience. I came from a visual design background. I studied design. I worked for Nordstrom for a very long time. And that was my dream job, actually. Like, so I, last semester of college, I dropped out. I just went for it. And I was like, this is my dream. Like, this is what I'm going to school to do or for. And this is my time. And I think a lot of my inspiration from my work now comes from visual design and merchandising and everything that I've done. And, you know, I worked my way up through the corporate ladder on that end. I worked for a really big photo studio in New York City. And that part of my life, like, it was completely draining working for an agency. Like, I was working on contracts and everything, sponsorships for really major, like, hairstylists, makeup stylists, set designers. And it was a really cool world to be a part of, but it was also very creatively, I don't know if that's a word, creativity removed. Like, I was dealing with creative people, but I didn't myself get to be creative, and it was soul sucking. And I was like, it was such a slow decay of life. And ooh. I was like, what am I doing? Like, this isn't what I want to do, even though I'm, like, moving up in the world, you know, in terms of, like, titles, monetary, whatever. But, like, that didn't matter to me. I wanted to find something that I personally, like, resonated with, I felt fulfilled with, happy to go to work every day. So one day I just came into the agency. I was like, I'm done. I quit.
And I love that.
That was, like, honestly, people were like, wow, that's so, like, cool that you did that. I was like, no, it's actually terrifying, and I don't recommend it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you're so brave. I was like, no, I actually think it's chaotic and reckless. But
you had no plan. You had no plan.
No plan. And, you know, like, at that time I was like mid-20s maybe, and still learning to, like, I don't know, save money, be responsible, you know. No plan. But I just knew that I hated coming to work every day, and this is not, like, the world that I want to be trapped in. Very grateful for that experience, because very full circle that I'm sure we'll get into later, but it just wasn't for me. So I did a lot of soul searching. I call them my lost years, where I, like, started working for restaurants. I was, like, you know, a barista. I worked at, like, clothing stores, and it was a really humbling time. But yeah, one day I was coming back to New York. I was visiting, like, an ex-boyfriend somewhere. It doesn't matter now, but I was coming back, and a friend was like, hey, do you need a job? I was like, yes. Like, tell me more.
Please. Yes, please.
Like, it pays cash, like, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, literally keep going. And little did I know, it was working in this flower shop in Chelsea in the city. And honestly, like, from day one and ever since that day, X amount of years ago, like, it just felt so right. Like, everything I've ever loved about any single job, even, like, jobs I had in high school, like, it just all clicked. And I truly do feel it's, like, the love of my life. And it was the most happy thing I could have found, because during that time too, like, I lost my dad, I lost my brother. And, like, it was just like, my life was, nothing about it was certain, but this one thing that I found gave me a sense of, like, hope and purpose and, like, love.
Do you think that being in the concrete jungle of New York City, that having your hands on something alive and like nature filled like a flower has anything to do with how it makes you feel grounded and alive and hopeful, like you said?
I do think it brings definitely like the warmth to my life, because New York is crazy. Like you said, it's a concrete jungle and it's so busy and there's always something happening. But the times that I get to design, even though it's like we have a million things to do, it's still just like one with the flowers, you know, like it's, even if I'm working a million speeds or I'm like watching my assistants or managing an event, like it's still like time stands still in a way, because this is what matters right now. And it's peaceful in a way, as peaceful as the event industry can be.
Yeah. You have to be present though. Otherwise your design's not going to flow and make sense probably.
Yeah.
Do you ever pause and like take a deep breath, or do you have any rituals before you need to like get your team together to actually execute something pretty big?
So I'll tell you that I never sleep well before a big event.
Yeah. No, like, I can imagine.
Like even though I've been doing so many different events and installations, like even if you do the exact same thing and replicate it, like something will be different. Like, you know, the location's different, the team's different, like whatever, but something always goes wrong. So like I'm up throughout the night and early morning, just like worrying basically. And yeah. Just like, I guess in terms of ritual, I do try to go into it like very calm. Like, again, like I've been doing this for a decent amount of time now. So if problems happen, like I know how to handle them or brainstorm to fix it. But I think like my favorite time during an installation is the moments when you are just about to finish, because like you're in the zone, right? And then all of a sudden you take a step back to like start cleaning up or whatever, and you just like step back and you're like, oh my god, this is what we created. And it's such like an amazing feeling, because like again, you're like so hyper focused on whatever you're doing, or I'm like, you know, running around the venue, that finally like those quiet moments right before you finish, you're like, oh my god, look. And I always my assistants, well, I always ask my assistants, I'm like, are you having fun? Do you like what you made? Or I'm like, even if we don't necessarily like what we create, I'm like, did we do it to the best ability that we could have? Like, are you proud of what you did? And to me, that's always important. Like, I want everyone to have a good time while we work together.
Always. We know what it's like to like, we like a lot of times would do like mentorship events with the girls, but we'd pair with like Refinery 29 or, you know, like a really cool organization to do a mentorship party. And yeah. I mean, I just hear you because and feel like the same, like Teddy and I'd be like, it's so stressful to put it on and to coordinate, even though it's like for a good cause and for everything. And then it's like perspective. It's like, I want to spend these 3 hours with the girls and make it a great experience.
Yeah. You
know, instead of being like nervous that someone's going to say something weird or, you know, all this other stuff.
I don't like to have that. I've worked with people like that. I've obviously worked in a corporate setting where you're like, you feel like you're walking on eggshells, you know, like you don't want to, or like you're worried that your boss might yell at you or go like whatever, pop off. And I've been in that situation and, you know, things go wrong and I express maybe disappointment because something happened. But at the end of the day, I'm like, we gotta keep it moving. And like, I don't know, like I always just try to have fun and make sure like everyone, like we're doing what we love. So I don't want it to be like a stressful situation unnecessarily, you know?
Yeah. Something really funny just came to mind. I have to share it because I think I like it. We were doing a mentorship event, but it was like with first into third graders. And stylist came in like so unaware of who she was talking to, this influencer girl, and she was telling the girls that they should wear crop tops with a blazer. And we're like, no, like these girls are like six, they're not wearing crop tops or blazers. No. And Tay and I were so stressed, we're like, how do we get her to stop talking, because like the parents are listening, you know, and you're like, girl, powerful, get your crop tops and blazers out, girls. They're like learning how to read.
Yeah, or even
like a detour, but
or even to like talk about floral design, we used to do a lot of like head crowns and stuff at the beach. Yeah. And even handing out a bunch of scissors sometimes to like a group of kids that have never really used scissors was kind of scary.
Yeah.
Like reel it in and be like, give me all the scissors. I'll cut them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I need a count. We gave away how many? I need them all back now.
Seriously. Literally, like, okay, we're going to check these out and we know who has them.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, yesterday.
That's right, that was a sidebar.
Yeah, Sonia. Yesterday was Valentine's Day and I got, two dozen roses. Pretty basic, but beautiful. How do I make them last? Like, do you use the packet or is that like just toxic? Or like, how do you make something last as long as possible to enjoy them?
So flowers obviously have a shelf life. Different flowers last longer than others. Roses are quite, hardy and they should last you for a week or more or so, depending on, where you store them. So I would recommend not putting them in direct sunlight. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh my God, flowers love sun. I'm like, yeah, if they were still growing. Like,
yeah. They're like, on their way out.
Yeah. I'm like, they're already like their lifespan is already at the end. We cut them, we chop them, we process them. So I always recommend putting them in a cooler place in your apartment, not in direct sunlight. Definitely change the water, keep the water cool, cut the ends off every other day or so. Change the water, if not daily, every other day. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there is one tip that I like told my assistant yesterday, actually, that so a rose technically has like leaves all down the stems. And we call it processing or stripping the rose. If you strip all the leaves off, the rose will die faster. Mm-hmm. Because think of it as like the stem is, drinking up water. And the first thing that the water hits are the leaves. So the leaves will die first and then the water will go up to the head of the rose. So if you remove the leaves, the water hits straight up to the head of the rose and it'll die faster. So it's actually better to keep the leaves on.
I like the leaves, honestly.
I don't mind them, but
you're like, I hate the leaves.
Oh no, it really depends on the leaf,
on the vibe. Yeah.
And sometimes some leaves are ugly. So I'm like, this one doesn't, this one needs to go.
Yeah, leaf.
Do you have a favorite flower right now or is something trending that everyone wants to have?
I'm obsessed with sweet peas. If you don't know what they are, you can take a gander on my neck.
Beautiful.
They're really delicate and like the name, they smell sweet and they're just so delicate and have so much attitude. And I feel like it creates like a whimsical, it creates movement within the arrangement. And like, that's what I'm all about. Like, I like each flower to have their moment to shine and like, just have your eye, like be able to move around the arrangement. But also low key, I love red roses for Valentine's Day. So I'm not hating that. If I had a man, I'd be like, get me that.
Yeah.
Get me that.
Sweet peas represent kindheartedness.
What?
Sweet peas represent kindheartedness.
Really?
And its enchanting fragrance makes life more beautiful.
I didn't even know that, but I love
like that. That encompasses you.
Oh.
Just from our conversation, I do.
Thank you. I love that. Okay. Well, that's proving why they're my favorite flower more.
So you're on Winterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo. How was that?
It was wild. Like it's definitely one of those moments where I'm like, did that really happen? I'm like, of course it happened. It's immortalized on TV forever. It was such a impulsive decision and something like I don't regret at all. I think it was character building and it was honestly just so much fun. Like when other than that time would I have been able to do that,
Right. So for 2 weeks you were in the house in Vermont, right?
Yes.
I don't understand how everyone can wake up and party every day.
No.
I'm too old for that.
I am also too old for that, I thought. And, I get really hungover now. Like, I'll have a couple drinks or whatever, even wine, and I'll be, like, dead in bed for a full day. Yeah. But for some reason, I think maybe, like, the cold or something. Like, I don't know. I wasn't hungover once. And I hung out. I stayed up way past my normal bedtime. And
You were pushing yourself.
Yeah. I was pushing myself out of my comfort zone because I'm very much a creature of habit just to keep sanity in my life in any way I can. But I really liked switching up my life and I don't know, I wasn't hungover once. I'm still a little confused and jarred that I wasn't.
Maybe it's because you're a cameraman
there
all the time.
Maybe. Yeah.
I would be like, okay, I'm up.
I did drink a lot of Red Bull though, so I hadn't discovered Celsius yet, but I was like, I drink Red Bull at like any hour of the day, even if it was like 8 a.m. Like I needed it.
I just have like a 36-hour rule. Like I could never be around the same group of people longer than a couple days. Like it just everything irks me. And I'm pretty chill, but I just know myself at this point, I'm 36, that it's like no one can stay in my house that long. And I don't want to be in anyone else's house that long. So 2 weeks, I don't know. I would have maybe had to check myself out and be like, I gotta go.
You have to do any like journaling or anything to like get it, because it's highly emotional. I thought the season,
it was really emotional, and like people, you know, some feedback like towards the end, people were like, oh my god, she like overreacted or whatever I did, and I was just like, listen, do you understand, like I was beaten down, I was weak, I was fragile, I was like, could have said anything to me and I would have cried, and I don't cry about anything. And to that point, like I am like an introverted socialite. So like, I love to go out. I love to hang out with people and stuff, but like, I also need my alone time to like regenerate. And it was hard to do that because I wanted to take time maybe to like sit in my room, play on my phone, I don't know, watch TV or whatever, but I couldn't necessarily, it's not that I couldn't do that, but I also was there to like make friends and hang out with people and do things. And I was like, all right, you can do this for 2 weeks, you know, like after that you can go home and hang out with your cat in your room and like have alone time. I'm like, I wanted to hang out. So I did like sacrifice some maybe like quiet time, but in return, I had a blast.
Yeah, you really only get that experience once.
Exactly.
Unless you're going back. Are you going back for the next season?
Who's to say? We'll just have to, who's to
say. We had Sierra on here about a year ago, and we asked her this question, and it just kind of popped up. But who do you feel out of the cast is like the most trustworthy, like unique person, like that's not unique, authentic? Like who's actually being themselves on camera?
I feel like, honestly, like I loved Paige, Amanda, and Sierra. I there's my cat. I get along with everybody, I feel like, and I like to think I'm pretty genuine and forthcoming with everyone. So in return, people are, you know, the same. Like I'm really sweet and nice. So like, why would you be mean? Or like, why wouldn't you be that? But right off the bat, I mean, I just thought they were real. They're genuine, and they know what's up, and they've been friends and doing this for so long. So I felt like I could confide in them and ask them, like, you know, like, give me the rundown, what to expect, or like what to do or how to feel about something. And they're always so sweet and kind.
Yeah, good. I know. I remember she said Amanda first. She was like, Amanda.
Yeah, Amanda.
Who pulled you into the group? Isn't that who pulled you in?
Yeah, I did Amanda and Kyle's wedding. And ever since then, obviously, I was a part of one of the biggest like moments in their relationship to date. So yeah, I will always have that bond with them and like a sense of like comfort, you know?
I
mean, I was so glad. You're so relatable, like on the show, but it's just who you are. But whenever you did have that, you know, that like throwaway comment from Jess on the show, that you did get to, you stood up for yourself. And it wasn't easy for you to do. So how did you really get that confidence to say something, especially in front of everybody at dinner?
It took some liquid courage. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm not a confrontational person. Like, I'm very straightforward and honest, but like, I don't like to make a big deal about things. And honestly, if I wasn't trapped in a house with these people, first of all, I would never probably be on vacation with like a 24-year-old girl that I never met, but like that's besides the point. To that degree though, like in normal day, like in normal times, like if I met a girl at a bar and she said that to me, I'd be like, disregard, disengage, sure. Don't care. But the fact that I was living in the house with her and constantly like seeing her, I was just like, the thing is, I don't think she meant it the way that it came across on TV as well as to me, to my face. But the thing is, like, I was just trying to teach her or create awareness. I'm like, what you say and what you meant, what you said and what you meant are two different things. And you need to like you need to check yourself. And the thing is, like, that was a repetitive thing throughout our time there that she just like wasn't aware. So for me, I was like, oh, I'm like the last straw kind of, cause she like offended so many people. I'm like, if you are mean to me, I'm like, and like, if you're coming for me, I'm like, there's a bigger problem. I'm like, mm-hmm. if it comes to the point where I have to speak to you and say something, I'm like, everyone's had it. And now I was like, oh, it's time. Like, I have to say something because of all people, I'm like, you're like disrespecting me when I've been kind to you and sympathetic. So I think I just kind of was like, I need to do it because no one else is going to. And this is what she said to me, and what it kind of triggered was bigger than just a mean comment. You know, I was like, you need to understand like what you said was wrong and it hurt my feelings, you know? Yeah.
We talk about it all the time where so many people are unaware of like throwaway comments where they think they can just say anything and it doesn't affect the person receiving the message.
Or even they say it and then they like kind of like giggle because they know they're trying to like save their butt, you know, they're like, ah! And but then they, you know, like, I mean, you're like, oh no, what did I just do? I mean,
yeah.
But it's good though that you like said something back, because Teddy brought up a good point, because the other day my boss said something really like unprofessional to me. Mm-hmm. And in the moment I should have said something, but like the whole room went silent. And I think it is like a power thing. And just like, this guy is like, so like, you know, maybe on the spectrum and unaware of like yeah. what he can say, you
out know, of
to
touch.
Not only to women, but just to people in general, like you can't say that. And mm-hmm. I should have been like, actually no, but I didn't. Based on just like, I guess I didn't feel confident enough to stand up to him, or I thought there'd be like a repercussion.
Sometimes it's hard to do that right in the moment though, because it catches you off guard. And, you know, like how many times have we been like, oh, I wish I said this and that in the moment, but you're not like, you're not prepared for like, well, like you weren't prepared for that.
Right. I was kind of shocked. I was like, what in the world in my head? And then my coworkers looked at me like, you know.
Yeah.
Why did he say that? And I was just like, I have no idea, even like, why would you say that?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like the only reaction that you have. And I have a temper. I'm like definitely like very quick tongued or whatever, and very articulate. So for me, I've learned in order to not like maybe like come across a different way is to like process and then react. Because if I reacted right off the bat how I wanted to, that would have been a whole different conversation, which probably would have been more entertaining. But yeah. To the same degree, I tried to stay authentic to myself and not like lean into something just for more screen time or like whatever. Like I still, there's a fine line of being who you are and still like, you know, like addressing things that need to happen.
Do you think that when she apologize to you, it was real, or did you feel like she was like backed into a corner and was like, this is, I better save my butt here?
You know, I think she felt bad that she hurt my feelings, but I still don't think she completely grasped the like the bigger picture of it, you know. Sure. Like she's not a mean person, of course she doesn't want to make anyone upset or cry, like that's, I don't think that was ever her intention. She's not a bad person.
She's just aloof, I think, like just a little narcissistic, little hot body, little baby.
Yeah, and that's just something that like only time will put her in her place, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, beyond her or the show, it's like in life, do you have any tips for when people do hurt your feelings? And like, is it, do you take it home and process it and then like reach out via text and say, I want to meet with you? Or do you just let it roll off your back? Like, how can people like get the guts to, you know, show up for themselves and speak their truth when their feelings truly are hurt?
So what I just said again is like process and then react. Cause sometimes, you know, like we were talking about, you don't know what's the right, you don't even know what you're feeling maybe, but you do know you're upset. And that's of course valid, but I think taking the time and sorting through why you feel the way you feel, and also maybe like why that person said something, and understand maybe like they didn't mean to, but that's not the point. The fact is they still hurt your feelings. And I think it's okay to take time and process that, not like a long time, you know, like a good time just for yourself. And honestly, like I've learned, if I had to confront somebody, never to be like, you did this, you said this, like, because then again, you're attacking them when maybe they didn't even mean to come across that way. So generally I try to be like, this, just state the facts. Like you said, like, this was said, this happened, and this is how it made me feel. And then see what they say, you know, like, I try not to like use like point fingers or anything like that. I'm just like, well, this is how I feel. And this is what happened. Like, what's the disconnect? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm feeling, my feelings are wrong, or tell me that these facts didn't happen. Like, someone can't really fight you on that. So I just try to come to, when I do speak to somebody, I just try to come across as like, I'm upset. My feelings are hurt, and I'm like willing to hear you out. And from there, it's kind of like, here you go. Now yeah. what? If they continue yeah. to feel it badly, then depending on the scenario, maybe they're just not meant, you guys just aren't meant to like interact. I don't yeah. know.
I like what you said too, is like real, like ask yourself, like, why did that hurt my feelings? So maybe there's some more healing you need to do and like work on yourself as well. So you don't go through life and let people take your power away through these stupid conversations, you know?
Like, yeah.
Not that think feelings aren't valid, but just like sometimes if it's like a repeat thing, it's like, why does this keep bothering me? Because like yeah. Sonia's thing, her boss has said something about, you didn't have a dad and we didn't. So it's like, what the fuck? Well, I guess.
Better you than me.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like, why would a boss even say that?
That's, I mean, like, not to their face, but I'd probably be like, who hurt you? Saying that, like,
yeah, yeah, sometimes it's like that, it's like a mirror, right? It's like, that's a you problem.
And then it just, like, you do have to also consider, like, is it worth saying something? Is it really worth it? Like, and then maybe, you know, like, if it is, then, you know, maybe talk about it or think about it, like I talked about. But if it's not like a one-off comment and you're never going to see this person again, then, you know, like, it's not worth it to tell them how you feel, because they don't clearly care about you and you shouldn't care about them and what they have to say.
That's true. I feel like if there is mutual respect, you know, you're not friends with people or family members that are constantly hurting you. So it's like, okay, we just don't really need to be around each other, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you're not healthy.
You're just a crappy person, basically. And I'm all set with that.
How do you bring that into work with Dearest Rachel when you're managing people on a team?
So,
a lot of personalities, right?
Yeah. So yeah. I think my biggest strength as a boss or a leader has been to, you know, figure out like what people's strengths are, maybe like identify their weaknesses or like how they like to work. And I honestly modify my way of leading to cater towards my assistants, because at the end of the day, like, I know a certain way I like to do things, but I'm also like, I'm open to hearing like how you guys want to work and what works best for you. I'm here to do the job as fast and efficiently as possible and have a good time. So however that works for you works for me. There's been scenarios, obviously, with people where things have gone wrong, maybe situations weren't handled correctly. And for me, it's a learning experience on how to handle people's personalities and like kind of diffuse a situation. But I'm so lucky that I have so many amazing, like pretty much an all girl team that I work with, and they love to work with me. I love to work with them. I take care of them. And I really can't remember too many situations where something bad has happened, but if and when it did happen, I would just be like, hey, you know, like maybe this broke. And I just be like, that was a couple hundred X dollar loss. I was like, I know things happen, things go wrong, but just be more mindful. And because at the end of the day, like, it's my problem. And if any accidents happen, like, it's my responsibility. So I just try to shed light on, you know, like, not ideal, don't let it happen again, you know?
Yeah.
I don't take things very personally ever. So I think that's why I'm able to like disconnect and just realize that like, things go wrong and maybe we won't work together in the future, but that is what it is.
You sound like a pretty good leader to me.
I try.
You want to get the job done and you want to have fun and you want to be efficient and you want your clients to be happy. And
yeah,
what you're doing. Cause look at your list of clients, you know, and your beautiful art and installations.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm doing something right. I'm still figuring out yeah. what all those things are, you but are.
That's awesome. All right, Rachel. So the last question we ask all of our guests is, what makes you feel the most alive?
Oh my God, why is that like such a simple question? Yeah, I'm like, how do I feel alive? I mean, flowers, my job, it's my passion. It's the biggest thing, significant thing that's ever happened to me. And being a part of it is honestly gives me purpose every day. And it's been my lifelong goal, honestly, ever since I could remember, just to balance love, passion, and my career, and to find something that is all of those things in one thing. Like, it's a hobby. It's also, you know, how I'm able to survive in New York and everything. And I'm blessed, and it's flowers.
I love that.
Yeah.
What's coming up for you the remainder of the year, and where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, my personal account, which is mostly my face with flowers. It's Dearest Period Rachel. But if you don't want to see my face, my business account, Dearest Rachel NYC, is just flowers. So in case you don't want to see my face or my cat, go there. The rest of the year, so events, you know, they come up and go. And honestly, I only look at month ahead at times with events, but I'm teaching flower classes for the New York Flower School all of March. So if you head over to my Instagram or the Flower School of New York, you can sign up there, get a chance to learn some things from me, sip some wine, and also talk to me, because I'll just be wandering around and checking out your work. And I feel like that'll be a fun time if anyone wants to sign up in New York. And other than that, you can catch my work. Maybe you'll walk through an event of mine in the city. Who knows? Or else follow the journey on Instagram.
I love it. I wish we were in New York. We could get lunch.
I want to go to her class.
Yeah, and go to your class.
Maybe awesome. One day, Rachel.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Of course, you guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to our guest. For more information on her, see the show notes.
Please hit subscribe if you have not already. That way, a new episode is delivered directly to your feed every week.